And one of the things in my case that came from it was we did a gig at the All Saints Hall, which, as my father was had been a vicar, so it was a church hall. So I knew, of all of them, I had a bit of experience. I knew that churches had halls and that they were always short of money. Because my father had been a vicar and he'd always had a church hall. And it was on the one hand, it was a social thing, and on the other hand, it was a revenue thing. So my father had always put on at his church halls, there would be wish drives or dances or youth clubs and things like that. And I think it was the tradition as well from the church, the local parish church would have a hall, you know, so that you'd go on Sunday and you'd pray, and on Friday and Saturday you might go and have fun. It was a social place, exactly, which was attached to the church. And often the money that had built the church was also used to build the church hall. Anyway, that's a deviation. But my father, because he was a vicar, was always involved with putting on events. And as I got older, I went to the events and got to see it. So I knew that, you know, if you put on something, people would come often if it wasn't very expensive. So that was the principle. That's why, I was involved with saying, let's do an event at the All Saints Hall. And I don't know whether I or somebody else went to see the vicar, but I said, look, I think that we'll be able to rent that. As we were based in that area, all around Paris Square, it would be a great place for us to do an event and to sort of bring us together. And at the same time, Hoppy had brought over these lights people from San Francisco. So at the first of those events at the UFO, at the All Saints Hall, the first UFO, was Mick Fallon and the Social Deviants and the Pink Floyd, because I had a band. I said, well, you know, let's put my band on. I started vaguely working with them. So I said, oh, I've got a gig for you. Oh, great. So they came along. So they were there. They were the band at the first UFO event. Very important, because in a way that sort of set off the combination of the London Free School and International Times and UFO. It unleashed the whole underground scene in London.
At that time, you already knew Pink Floyd.
Yes. Well, partly because I knew we were putting on this event. But yes, I'd seen the Pink Floyd and I'd liked them. And I'd already, you see, in the London Free School with Hoppy, we were trying to do a label called DNA.
And
with AMM. I bet you've got that record.
Yeah.
That was financed by Felix Mendelssohn and Hoppy and myself. And we were going to have a label called DNA.
1966, you were a lecturer and also involved in the Notting Hill and also music.
Yeah, I was a music fan.
Not as a manager, just a fan.
Yeah. It was, I was on the scene, when I was at college, I hung out with musicians a lot. You know, there was university musicians at Cambridge. Hank was part of that. So it's part of my social thing, Hank Wangford, as he later became.
And All Saints Hall, when you were a child, you learn from your fathers.
Yeah.
So that's a good place for music.
Well, yeah, but that you could, people, a local thing. That was a capacity, I don't know, 200, 250. And it was full the first night. I was really surprised. And then the second night we did it, it was, you couldn't get in. So that's when Joe and Hoppy found the
UFO Club?
It was UFO Club in Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was underneath where the cinema used to be, yeah.
The first time was, how many people came?
I would imagine a couple of hundred.
How did you advertise?
I suppose just put up a few posters and then word of mouth, probably, because, we would all know three or four people. And it was, that social scene. It was the London Free School. So there were sort of like about 20 of us involved in it. And so if we all bought five people, that was 100 people sort of thing, with partners and things and friends. So it was that sort of basis. And again, because of people like Miles, we're very connected with the, you know, the music papers picked up on it. So the Melody Maker picked up on it. And we started in September, and by sort of December, we, you know, the Floyd had a middle page spread in the Melody Maker in their sort of special Christmas edition. You know, this is the hot band to follow in
1966.
So that was it, sort of just took off really fast. And there was also a thing in Queen magazine, which was very important.
At that time, you was not manager of the...
Yeah, by then, I mean, we became their managers fairly early on because, you know, we found the band, Bernard Stallman. We found out where they lived, so we went, Andrew and I thought Andrew would be my partner in the management, so because I was working at the university still. And he wasn't working. He had more casual work. He was working for people. And I had my proper, you know, gig at the university, so I had to do that. I was very conscientious, it has to be said. I was able to do it in my spare time, manage the band with Andrew. So between us, we sort of managed the band. Then his girlfriend, later wife, had a she was an artist, and so she had a studio, and that's where Black Hill ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just off the Portchester Road. And that was Alexander Street. Then to Alexander Street. And that's where we set up Black Hill. So I started it, then his girlfriend, and she was getting a studio with her. She'd been at art school, so she with some friends, they wanted a studio, but then they couldn't really afford a whole house and a studio, so he moved in, Andrew moved in there with her. They found a place with her friends to be have a studio, and then we also, in that place, we had our offices. And that's also in that place, close to Alexander Street, was also where Stiff Records started. And that's where we started with Elvis Costello started there. The office, his first office, and Ian Jurian started there. And then just down the road, we'd rented another place where there was a Wasted Talent, the agency, booking agency set up. And then they brought in The Clash, and so that's where that was all sort of around there. Again, it was all based on our sort of, that area was part of an area I'd always worked in, and it's just across a railway line. There's a railway bridge which went from where I live, which is in Edbrook Road, which is up that direction down the Harrow Road about. So it was all very close. And then when Black Hill closed about a year later, then I got a job with Charisma Records, and then I could ride my bicycle into town. You know, we did the Floyd, and when the Floyd, we broke up with the Floyd, or the Floyd broke up with us, whatever happened, then Black Hill continued, and then that dissolved, and then I set up with my wife, we set up, you know, Sincere. And in this room, this was where the first office of Sincere, the table, it was all on there, you know. We all sat around here. Very influenced by Chris Blackwell, because Chris Blackwell had a scene like that. Island Records had one building where they had a studio and their offices, and they all sat around a big table, and, you know.